I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah, the all-hearing, all-knowing, from Satan, from Satan.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Salatu wa salamu alayka Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever recited the Holy Quran, glorified Allah Azza wa Jal, recited salat upon the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then asked for forgiveness from Allah, he has sought goodness from its source. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us a method in which a person can gain goodness from his right source. And the first thing he mentions is reciting the glorious Quran. Then glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then sending salutations upon sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then asking Allah for forgiveness, and then he has sought goodness from his source. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be from amongst those people who sought goodness from his source. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back to the program, The Deadly Sins, in which we talk about those sins which cause the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those sins which distance a person from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which takes a person away from the path of paradise and puts them on the path of hell. And the topic we are discussing today is breaking promises. That when you make a promise to somebody, when you make a covenant with somebody, and then you go back on your word, you break that promise, you break that covenant, whether that promise is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it is with the people of Allah, the creation, both of these are major sins. But before we will listen to how the pious predecessors and the people in the past, they kept their promises, how they were men of their words, how they did not stand or let anything come in between them and the promise they have made. In the country of Arabia, there was a king named Nu'man bin Munzir, and he was a very weird king, you could say. He was a very unjust person, that he had 2 days fixed in a year. And he would say that on one day, the first person to meet me from the people, I will honor him and give him a lot of virtue and give him a lot of wealth. And on the second day which he had appointed, the first person to meet him from amongst the people, he would kill him. So now this day comes, and a person from the tribe of Tay comes to him, and unfortunately he is the first person to meet him on the day of execution. So the king says to him, you know the 2 days I have within the year, and you have entered upon that day where I kill the first person I meet. And the man said, look, you're going to kill me regardless. So whether it is daytime or nighttime, let me go home to my family. Let me provide a little for my family, write a will, and then I will come back to you. And the king said, you expect me to believe that? You expect me that you, who I will spare his life, will come back to me? I need a guarantor. I need somebody in place of you, so that if you do not come back, then I will execute him. So that person looked towards one of the companions of the king, and that companion's name was Shariq bin Adi, and he says to him and requests to him that you become my guarantor. And that person, that stranger who he did not know, took on the responsibility of being the guarantor of that person from Tay. And he said, if he does not return, then you can execute me. So now the day passes and it's afternoon time. So the king says to that Shariq, the companion of his, that if the person you vouched for does not come, then I'm going to execute you. And Shariq says, O king, the day has only just begun. It is only partially the day. There is still evening left. And now evening time came. And the king says to Shariq, look, the man you vouched for has not come, so I'm going to execute you now. Whilst they were having this conversation, they could see a man coming from far. And Sharik says, maybe that is that person who I vouched for. Maybe he is the one and he is keeping his promise and coming back. If it is not him, then I am happy to be executed. So the king waits and the person comes closer and the person comes closer to the point. They recognize he is the same man from the tribe of Taif who promised that he will go feed his family, write his will, then come back to his execution. So now that he comes back and the king is astonished to see him, the king said, look, you have spared your life. You could have run away. You could have gone anywhere, but still you chose to come back. And that man says, in my religion, there is great value for a promise. And if a person who does not keep his promise, he has no religion. Having heard this, the king forgave him. The king honored him. And the king was so astonished by the man who can keep his promise in such a way that his life was on the line, yet he came back. And due to this person, the king, he abolished that day of execution and they lived happily ever after. Now, there are so many points that can be taken from this. Number one, that in the previous nations, in the previous times, people, they were so thoughtful of Muslims, they were so caring of Muslims, that if one stranger Muslim knew the other stranger Muslim was in trouble, regardless of not knowing each other, not knowing the tribe they are from, not knowing the languages they speak, they would still help one another. And this is something we lack today in our society. We become happy over the loss of our Muslim. We become happy, we pray to Allah that that person suffers a loss. This is not the status and the honor of a Muslim. The honor of a Muslim is such that he is willing to put his life on the line for a truthful Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, narrated from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the one who removes any trouble of a Muslim in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the trouble of that person on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment. One who relieves a poor person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve him in the world and in the hereafter. One who covers up the fault of any Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover up his faults in this world and the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to help the bondsman as long as he continues to help his brother. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us such a beautiful narration, such a beautiful glad tiding, that if you remove the difficulty of a brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your difficulty. If you relieve a brother of his poverty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove you of your poverty in this world. If you hide the faults of a Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful and so giving that he not only will hide your faults in this world, but also in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to help the people, helps the bondmen as long as they help one another. So if we want the nasr, if we want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to help our Muslim brothers as well. Elaborating on that hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yarham Naimi rahimahullah has said that if someone's transitory is in trouble, Allah Ta'ala will remove your permanent trouble. Meaning if you remove somebody's troubles, somebody's temporary problem, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will remove your permanent trouble. Meaning the trouble of the hereafter, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will forgive you for it. And the second point, the main focus of our topic today, is that how truthful that man was in keeping his promise. How much honor he gave to his promise, that even though his life was on the line, even though he could have lost everything, he could have never seen his family again, he put his trust in a stranger, yet he kept his promise and came back. And this is something for us to learn from, that if we give our tongue to somebody, if we give our word to somebody, then we should not go back on it. If we are businessmen, if we are traders, if we are in the field of business, and then we sign a contract, or we make an agreement, we made a trade, then we should not break that covenant, we should not break that promise with anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in relation to the commandment of fulfilling a promise, its importance, its virtues, and the warning of a person who breaks this promise. Allah says in Surah Bani Israel, part 15, ayah 34, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَأَوْفُوا بِالْأَهْدِ إِنَّ الْأَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا. Translation from Kanzul Iman, and fulfill the promise, indeed question will be asked regarding the promise. Similarly, in another ayat of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allazina yufuna bi ahdillahi wa la yanquduna al mithaq. Translation from Kunz al-Iman, those who fulfill the pact, the covenant of Allah, and do not default on that covenant. Regarding this blessed ayah, Sayyidina Ismail Haqqi rahimahullah has said, the good end in the hereafter is only for the one who fulfills the promise, that promise which he made with his Lord, because they witness that he is Rabb Azza wa Jal and obey his orders. They do not break the promise they have made to Allah and the agreement they have had with Allah. And the beauty of the covenant, the beauty of promise, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never break that promise he has made. Meaning those promises which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made with the people, those mentioned in the Quran, those in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never goes back on his word. Allah ta'ala will never break that covenant. Then it is only right that the promise we have made, the promise of being true bondsmen to Allah ta'ala, the promise of not worshipping anybody except Allah, the promise of fulfilling the obligation of salah, the obligation of fast, the obligation of zakat, the obligation of hajj, the obligation of being truthful and respectful towards our parents, the obligation of helping our Muslims, the obligation of not lying, not backbiting, not tale-telling, not slandering, not breaking promises. These are the promises that we need to keep. And if we want to be successful in the hereafter, remember, breaching a promise is a grave sin, an impermissible and haram act, and an act which leads to the fire of hell. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us about these punishments and has told us the importance of keeping a promise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, and this is a hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, that the one who breaks a promise to any Muslim is cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is cursed by his angels, is cursed by all humans. Neither any of his fard obligation acts are accepted, whether and none of his nafil optional acts are accepted as well. Another narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, people will not perish unless they break the promises to their people. And in the hadith it is stated that a promise is like a debt. Destruction is for him who makes a promise and then goes back on it. Destruction is for him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the word destruction is for him 3 times to show the severity of a person who makes a promise and then he breaks it. In another hadith, listen to this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that there are 3 signs of a hypocrite. There are 3 signs of hypocrisy. Number one is that when a man speaks, he tells a lie. Number two, when he makes a promise, he breaks that promise. And number three, when he is entrusted with something, when you give something to him to safeguard, he misappropriates it. He misuses it. This is the sign of hypocrisy. And we should look at this and think to ourselves, do we have signs of hypocrisy in us? Are we of those people who these categories fits to? Are we from those people when we speak a lie? Are we from those people that when we make a promise, we break that promise? And are we of those people that when something is given to us for entrusting to looking after, we mistreat it and misuse it? Remember, if you have any of these, then these are signs of hypocrisy. But like we said before, and we say it again, that whenever you hear about narrations, whenever you hear the sayings of the scholars in terms of self-reflection, they are for you to reflect upon. You cannot use these and say to a person, oh, he has this bad habit, that's why he's a hypocrite. You cannot say that. But rather, what one can say is that the signs of hypocrisy are found. But you cannot directly point at a person and say that you are a this, you're a hypocrite, you're this, you're that. We are not allowed to do that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this illness as well, that we start pointing fingers at others. Remember, when we point a finger at others, 3 fingers are pointing back at us. So we should be more careful about ourselves, and we should be busy in finding faults in ourselves that we do not have time to find faults with the people. And our pious predecessors, and even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was an honest, truthful man, and he was a man of his words. And it has been stated that Sayyidina Abu al-Hamsa radiallahu anhu has said that I was in a trade with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I was doing business with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I bought some goods from the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam before the declaration of prophethood. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he openly declared his prophethood, when he openly announced his prophethood at the age of 40, this was his character beforehand. And it was this buildup of character that when the Messenger of Allah openly announced his prophethood, people accepted what he had to say, because he never lied even before he declared his prophethood. And even in the first 40 years, he was known as As-Sadiq al-Amin, the most truthful, the most trusted. Going back to the narration, Abu al-Hamsa radiallahu anhu says that I bought some goods from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the declaration of prophethood. So I had to pay back some of the amount to him. And I asked the Messenger of Allah that please stay in this place. I am just going to go collect that money and come back to you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a promise that he will not move from that place. The Messenger of Allah made a promise to Abu al-Hamsa radiallahu anhu that I will stay in this place. But Abu al-Hamsa says that when he went home, he had forgotten that he needed to go back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed there. He says, after 3 days when I remember and I reached there with the money, what do I see? I see that the Blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is waiting for me at that very same spot. And having seen me, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even frown, did not get angry, did not question him, but rather said, oh young man, you have put me in trouble, because as per my promise, I have been waiting for you for 3 days. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. This was the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the level of honor given by the Prophet to a small promise. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have walked away and nobody would have said anything. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can do whatever he wants. But to teach the nation, to teach the ummah, to set an example, he stayed there for 3 days. So when people think of an example to give, they point at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we as the followers of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we as the followers of his blessed sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to ask ourselves that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a promise to not remove himself from a place for 3 days and he fulfilled that, then the promises he has made for us, the promises he has made to us, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for the one who does such and such an act, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will help a person who does such and such an act, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mercy will come to that person who does such and such an act, then he surely will fulfill those acts as well. Sayyidina Huzaifa bin Yaman and Sayyidina Abu Husayl radiallahu anhu were coming from somewhere, and the enemies of Islam stopped them and they asked, are you going to fight in the battle of Badr to help the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They both refused, and then they were made to make a promise that they will not fight. Now they come back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks them then what was the reason for their delay, what was the reason that they have come now. And the companions relayed the whole story to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now when the Prophet is lining the armies for the battle of Badr, he picks these two companions and he puts them to the side, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, we will keep the promise at all costs, we need only the help of Allah. Meaning these two companions made a covenant, a promise to non-Muslims, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was adamant on keeping that promise. This was the level of the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that once a Muslim has given his word to somebody, no matter what happens, he will never go back to it. And remember, the battle of Badr is a very significant battle of Islam. The battle needed as many people as they could, but because of this promise they made to the non-Muslims, the Prophet honored the promise and kept the two companions away. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory in this battle. And this was the battle which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam partaked himself in as well. Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has stated, when the demise of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu came, and he was on his deathbed and he knew his death was close to him, he started remembering the things that he made. He started remembering the promises he made. And one of the promises that came to his mind was that he promised the hand of his daughter in marriage to a man. And in that state, he called the people towards him and he said, by Allah, I do not want to meet Allah with the third sign of hypocrisy, meaning breaking a promise. So I make all you witness that I marry my daughter to such and such a person. This was the fear of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even when they are on their deathbed, they are fulfilling the rights of people, the promise that they have made, they're not breaking that with anybody. And the promise of Ghaus-e-Azam, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah, that the promise he made of not lying to his mother. When his mother told him that you are setting out on this journey, you are going, but whatever you do, do not lie. And when he was robbed by a group of robbers, and they kept asking him what he has on him, and he would openly say, I have gold coins on me. And then the second robber would come and say, what do you have on you? And he would say, I have gold coins on me. To the extent that the robbers thought that Abdul Qadir Jilani was mocking them, and they took him to the chief of the robbers, and the chief of the robbers questioned Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah, and he said that, what is it that you are hiding? And the Sayyidina Ghaus-e-Azam radiallahu anhu openly declared, I have gold coins. And the robber said, where are the gold coins? He replied, my mother has stitched them in a pocket in my clothing. And the robber says, show it to me. And Ghaus-e-Azam radiallahu anhu, he takes them out and he presents them in front of that robber. And when the robber sees this, he starts to cry, he starts to weep, and he says that you are not willing to break one promise you made with your mother, and we break so many promises that we have made with our Lord. And then they repented on the hand of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anhu, and they repented, and they all were blessed with the levels of piety and becoming great men of Allah Ta'ala. And they were the first group of people that accepted and repented on the hand of Sayyidina Abu Ghaus-e-Azam radiallahu anhu. And they were the first people to do bay'ah, to give allegiance to Ghaus-e-Azam as well. And this was all through the mercy of not speaking a lie and keeping the promise he made to his mother. This was the way of our pious predecessors, that even though they were going to suffer worldly loss, they would not break a promise they have made. And this is something that we need to instill and bring back into our lives, that as Muslims, we are honorable people. As Muslims, we are people of our word. When we say something, when we make a promise, when we make a covenant with somebody, then the world can turn upside down, but our word will still remain. And this is the honor of a Muslim, and this is how we should try to live by as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who are truthful in their promises. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our major and minor sins. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم.
I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah. The all hearing, all knowing from Satan.